This is Minutia Men with Rick and Dave.
Hey, just an FYI, and for our listeners out there, don't give out your wife's email address.
Okay. I could have told you that. Right. In fact, I believe I did.
Yeah, I think you did.
I believe I did.
She's not real happy. She has gotten communication from people asking for lice advice, and at first she didn't really know why. Then she listened to the show, and she's not all that happy with me right now. So, just again, public service.
All right.
Do not give personal information like email addresses out of your wife.
Okay. File that under the duh category. It's time for Minutia Men.
The following is a Tony Lasano podcast.
An Opie production on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
This is Minutia Men with Rick and Dave.
But she has no trouble dispensing the advice. What somebody has, I could do that for you. So she's helpful. Just a little grumpy to her husband.
She's probably not happy that her email address was given out. Yeah. I think that might have something to do with it.
Okay. You know, we don't always make great choices, Rick.
No, and we don't. You know, we don't make good choices.
But you know what we do? Have a great choice. We have a great bunch of content.
Okay.
We made some good choices.
That's a big promise.
We got to get going.
That's a big promise. All right.
This is a Jenkins story, so can you fire up the Jenkins?
I think I can.
When you're on the job and you're not doing it right.
Jenkins!
Time now for Dave to share stories of employee screw-ups.
Jenkins!
It could only be...
Jenkins!
Jenkins.
With Rick and Dave.
Jenkins!
Rick, headline, Air Force employee accused of sharing classified information on foreign dating website.
Whoops.
An Air Force employee has been charged with sharing classified information on a foreign dating website after prosecutors say he sent sensitive information about Russia's war in Ukraine to a person who claimed to be a woman living in Ukraine.
Oh.
Okay. Prosecutors say 63-year-old David Franklin Slater, and let me show you this picture. Again, we are still better looking. I'm telling you, we are aging better than a lot of people that we are.
We also avoid mirrors.
Well, this man, 63-year-old David Franklin Slater, a retired Army lieutenant, who held a top secret security...
Wait a minute. He was 63 years old and he was only a lieutenant? You mean lieutenant colonel?
Oh,
maybe?
You're right. I'm sorry. A retired Army... Wow, you just... I know. Your military chops there.
I know. A little bit.
A retired Army lieutenant colonel who held a top secret security clearance at U.S. Strategic Command. That sounds...
Yeah. Big.
Yeah, when you work for Strategic Command, you're probably kind of big up there. Attended classified briefings on the war in Ukraine from February to August 22nd, soon after, you know, the war. Slater then sent this classified information to someone who claimed to be a woman in Ukraine, according to the indictment. The two communicated via email and through the foreign dating website's online messaging platform.
Oh, boy.
Okay. The person Slater communicated with, who is identified only as co-conspirator one, referred to him as Sweet Davey, Sweetest Davey, and my big secret agent. Okay.
Wow.
So I see what's happening here.
Yeah. You know, it would have worked on you, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You flop out a Sweet Dave, and I'm giving you credit card numbers and everything.
Yeah. I mean, if a woman, just to put this out there, any woman who meets Dave and, like, touches his elbow.
Oh,
You're his forever.
Yeah, you're going to be getting flowers on every Valentine's Day. Prosecutors say Slater's co-conspirator sent him a message in March asking, "Dear, what is showing on the screens in this special room? It looks very interesting," which he then told her what it was, right? Also, a week later, "You are my secret informant love. How were your meeting? You look like you're losing weight." I mean, come on. She is pandering at this point, right? Or she. Who knows? The co-conspirator sent messages for nearly 2 months. Long story short, he's got arrested and is probably going to go to jail for whatever.
This is catfishing, isn't it?
Yeah. Basically. Speaking of which, we had a great interview with...
We did.
Now, take it from me, who has quite an extensive following of Russian and Ukrainian. Very hot and attractive Russian and Ukrainian.
And they just like you for no reason.
Women on Instagram, they're just coming.
Yeah.
You never share classified information or credit card information on a third party platform.
Right.
Right. what you do is you switch the conversations to your burner email, okay, and always send cash, because then that way there's no paper trail, whatever. You're welcome.
And also, can't you do it through Michelle's email address?
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of, yeah, that's...
I have a story for you.
Yeah.
This is a heartwarming story, Dave. It's about a Kansas City dad who sprang into action when his wife went into labor alongside the road in the early morning hours of February 27th. Deputies at Miami County Sheriff's Office in Kansas arrived on the scene along Highway 169 and 255th Street. They captured body camera footage of Riley Redenbaugh before he made a surprise announcement. "I just delivered my baby," he told the officers. And in the footage, you can see him doing a fist bump with the officers.
Not with the kid.
Right. Right. Now, the reason I bring this story up is because it brought back like PTSD moments for me. Because
Well, Bridget would, once she got into labor, it was go time, wasn't it? For the second and the third one, right?
Yes.
Right.
But even more so than that, her doctor was downtown in Chicago.
And
we live
no
in Mount Prospect.
No traffic problem whatsoever.
And I was working at a morning show at that time, so I was gone in, you know, the weird hours of the night. And she insisted on keeping the doctor. She insisted on using Northwestern Hospital downtown. And I would have nightmares all the time.
That you would have to deliver the
baby.
It
would be like rush hour or something, and I'd be in the car and I'd have to deliver the baby. And I said to her, like, lose both of you.
Yeah, right.
It's gonna lose both of you. So the night that Johnny came into this world, Bridget wanted to go. We had him scheduled for what they call like a
inducement.
Right. Thank you. I couldn't think of the term for the next day, but at midnight, her water broke. Yeah. And she was very matter of fact. She was like, "Yeah, I'm going to go take a shower and, you know, we'll go." And I'm like, "Let's go. Yeah. We got to go downtown."
Look, I love your wife. Okay. Let me say, she, and again, I really think the world of her. Okay. And I don't want her to take this the wrong way if she, in fact, listens.
Yeah.
She's not the most punctual. She'll, like, if you have a dinner party at 7,
yeah,
she'll start going in the shower at like 6:40. Right. Yeah,
that is kind of her modus operandi, yes. And in this case, in particular, I felt maybe there should have been a more of a sense of urgency.
Yeah, of course.
And while she was in the shower, she started having contractions. Yeah. So she comes out. She's like, "Okay, we got to go right now."
Yeah.
And called the doctor. And the doctor's like, "You're not going to make it. Or if you are going to make it, you know, you better get moving." We got in the car. We made it to the corner. And she's like, "I'm not going to make it."
Wow.
So now we are in Mount
That's
Prospect.
That's like me peeing now at my age. Like,
yeah.
You ever, it's like, "Oh, I got to go right now."
So we just went to the nearest hospital and we walked in. And the first thing she said to the person in the emergency room was, "I need my drugs. I need my drugs now." And they looked at us like, "Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's
too late. Yeah.
So I went and parked the car, came inside. I had a baby. Basically, that's how it happened. It was that fast.
Well, and the parking rates that those hospitals charge, that was perfect for you.
Well,
it was like 45
true.
Minutes.
That's true. Yeah. But because she was unexpected, she had to share a room.
Yeah.
And again, you know my wife, after like 6 hours, she was like, "I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Let's go."
Yeah.
And so she didn't even stay in the hospital for a full like 24 hours after giving birth to a child.
You know, I think you would have been great at the delivering of the baby.
Oh my God.
You know,
the doctor did let me do the umbilical cord on 2 of the 3.
Oh.
And I handled that pretty well.
It's the scissors, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you cut.
Yeah.
I don't like mucus and blood.
Yeah.
And just that kind of stuff. So yesterday we had, we found like 6 moldy bread rolls that was kind of hidden in the back of the bread basket. I had to throw them away. I was retching for like 40 minutes afterwards because it was all great. I can't even imagine what kind of retching I would have had by delivering.
You know who you remind me of? John Wayne. You're very much
I think like more. I'm a more Vic Mature guy.
Yeah,
I
think. Biting the bullet out of your arm.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just give me a slap of leather, and I'll just bite on this.
Just a stick and some whiskey, and I'll be fine.
So we got a review from Lou CB on Podbay.
Okay.
Love the show. Wish the episodes were longer. Okay, Lou.
Yeah.
Okay. You're getting what you're paying for, okay? We don't want to hear all this. Oh, which was like, this is all you're going to get per week.
Yes, that's exactly right. And we do one thing every week, and that is Studio Walls. It's time for that right now.
Time now for Studio Walls.
And the words of the prophets were written on the studio walls.
So, Dave, this week in 1996, I think your favorite movie of all time. Yeah. Is it number one still for you?
It's either Pulp Fiction or Fargo.
Fargo.
So, yeah, definitely. And they're the same. Yes, definitely.
Came out this week in 1996, and we talked
28 years ago.
I know. That's crazy. We talked to somebody that was in the movie, Michelle Hutchison, mm-hmm. and she played the escort.
Right. But the high, not
explain,
just the,
explain this.
She's the high priced escort,
right?
Okay, and she was the character that accompanied Steve Buscemi,
right,
to the to the concert, and she was, and that she was the one who got beaten up by Shep Proudfoot.
Yes,
remember that, yes. While they were having sex. So,
okay, and so we talked to her about, you know, how she got that role, how it all came to be. She actually was. She turns out she's like a comic. She does like improv and stuff, and she told us all about it. And here's a little segment of that interview.
You know, and I have two scenes in the film. The first scene is when I'm at the Carlton mm-hmm. Celebrity Room. The second one is when I'm with Steve and Dad.
Right. We're going to talk about that a little later.
Yeah, I know. But the first scene. Was obviously the scene that I auditioned with. And so that was great that, you know, they were wonderful. They worked together beautifully. There was just a handful of people in the room. I went in, I did my business, and I was out. And then the call came and they said, okay, Michelle, they really like you and they're going to bring you back to the fourth callback. But here's the deal. There's going to be some nudity.
And it you didn't know about that before.
Well, not really.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm thinking, you know, why do I have to be the one to make that choice? I'm the goofy next door neighbor. Right. I'm not the gal that's naked. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, so so I asked them, and you know, what it, precisely are we talking about? You know, and so there really wasn't much. You know, it's like either you're in or you're out. And it's like, okay, look, there's a spectrum of nudity. First of all, is it just the back of me? Is it the front of me? I mean, what is it? So they said, if you ask these questions, that, you know, it's going to be, you're going to get pushback.
That's a red flag.
Because it looks like you're afraid.
Right.
But, you know, I felt like it's my body. It's, you know, I get to make the decision.
Yeah, this was not during the Me Too era.
Well, right. Exactly. And I think you're right. It probably would be a different story 20 years later.
Yeah.
But I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to go for it for the fourth callback. You know, why preempt it without knowing if they even want me? If they want me, there's more of a leveraging that
sure.
I could use.
Yeah, so, you can always say no. Right. Yeah. I mean, you could.
Right. But that's what happened. I got the gig. And and then I started asking the questions. I said, OK, now what am I supposed to do?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, the scene that you talk about, there are two scenes. The first scene in the cafe or nightclub.
Carlton Celebrity mm-hmm. Room.
Yes. That, to
and
me,
you could do worse. You could do worse than a Jose Feliciano.
That scene, to me, was that's the reason why I remember you. You had that more so than the next scene, because the look on your face... when the look of disinterest on your face when you're talking to Steve Buscemi is a look that Dave and I have seen many times.
Right, we could be married to you right now.
Right,
Michelle.
Exactly. We know that look.
Yeah,
and it was so perfect. Absolutely. It was so perfect. So anyway,
I have to tell you something funny, and you know, many years later, and I think it was 2017. I shot a television series for Netflix, and it's called Lady Dynamite. And I play like a really goofy next. I play the goofy next door neighbor. Finally, it came full circle.
Who was nude?
But Fred Armisen was on the set, and you know, I'm a big fan. You know, I would have loved to have been on something like Saturday Night Live. That's completely where it speaks to me, but. you know, I asked to be introduced to him, and I walked up, and we're on set, and he looked at me and goes, I know who you are. And I thought, huh? And long story short, he said, you're from Fargo. Now, for me, that was such a compliment, because I thought, how would you know that's me? He said, you are the only person I know who can smile and frown at the same time.
Wow, that's awesome.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's my wife.
It was a moment in time, a moment on film, but it really had an effect on both of us.
That's funny.
You know, like we mentioned, we watched your scene a ton of times yesterday. We actually watched the entire movie a couple of times yesterday because it's so good. Was that complete, the sex scene part of it, was that completely scripted, or was there some improvisation? Because we can't get all the words that you say, and we know it's something like, okay, time to pay your bills or whatever, and then we can't hear. Was it improv?
It was improv, and I'll tell you what, because that was left open, and so I asked Joel, and this is just funny when I look back on it because I was so green. I said, so there's nothing written here. So we're copulating, right? He's like, yeah. And I said, well, can I say something? He's like, sure. So in my mind, I thought, what would she's a little higher paid.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Would she say that would be sort of this Minnesota kitsch kind of, oh, she's talking dirty kind of thing?
Yeah.
So actually, I don't say time to pay the bills. Oh. And it's funny because people think that's what I'm saying. But what I'm actually saying is I'm hearing bells.
Oh,
wow. So is this whole interview was worth it just for this moment?
Oh, my God. My whole life has just changed.
I'm reassessing everything.
Well, the reason why is because a fire truck had just gone by after, like, we had to freeze the take. And I thought, oh, that's funny. You know, I just was sort of picking up with.
I really are the wacky girl next door, neighbor.
I am. Yeah. That's where I belong. So. It also made it palatable for me as an actor, you know, to make it funny at the same time, because I didn't. It's like, what am I doing in this scene?
There it is.
That's great. She just a lovely lady.
And you know what's fun about doing these replays,
because I don't remember.
I was watching your face throughout that, and it was like you were hearing it for the first time.
Yeah. You were great on that, and I can't remember how funny you were on that interview.
That was 5 years ago. That's how long it was. Thank you very much, Michelle Hutchison.
Yeah.
No N. If you want to find that, it's on Minutia Men episode number 129. Yeah. So that was like 200 episodes ago.
That's why we can't remember.
Yeah.
Hey, I got another story here.
Okay.
This comes out of Florida, but I don't think it's a Florida jingle.
Okay, good.
Okay, it's not quite, doesn't get into the bucket of Florida stories, but it does happen in Florida. Israeli diplomat's son beaten up in Florida jail over, well, you know what? Maybe it does, over a discussion on sausages. Okay. The son of an Israeli diplomat was assaulted in a Florida jail.
I don't know why I find that so funny, but
due to a conversation about sausages. The 19-year-old inmate, Avraham Gil, was arrested last month after allegedly running over a police officer with his motorcycle. Gil was allegedly beaten up in jail on Wednesday at the Miami-Dade County Jail. The altercation in the jail's holding cell began during a discussion between Gil and another inmate, 32-year-old Blake Elvis Ermus. I just read that name for the first time. I think I just cut and pasted. It's Blake Elvis Ermus about the ingredients of sausages. Okay. That's it. That's the entire article. This is from the India Times.
Yeah.
These people do not know how to ask follow-up questions, right? What was it about? Was it about nitrates? Was it about, you know, the dude was from Israel. Perhaps it was the kosher hot dog narrative.
Yeah, good.
You know, I have no idea. But I do know someone who might have an opinion on what happened.
Who would that be?
And that would be Gary Busey.
Ah.
And I sent you some audio. Gary Busey talking about sausages.
Here we go.
Let's talk about your Cable Ace Award.
Let's talk about buttered sausage. Talk about buttered sausage, where it comes from, what it does. Why is it doing what it's doing? Get it out of my face. What about buttered sausage?
That's not your jam. It's not your thing. You don't like it?
It's not my jam. I don't buy jam. I buy honey, and I kiss it on the lips.
Wow. Gary Busey, who will be on our next. We got to get Gary Busey on an interview. Yeah. So I have no idea what he's talking about. Oh, and it really doesn't have related to the story, but it's Gary Busey talking about sausages.
Yeah, I made 200 pounds of sausage just last weekend. So, you know.
With honey? Did you kiss it on the lips?
I did not kiss it on the lips, but I think I could have gotten through a conversation without getting into a fight. Pretty sure I could have done that.
Well, Avraham Gill, we'll invite him on for the next time. You can talk about your sausage making.
Well, I have a show, a story that is, it's really romantic. Mm. It's about the Russian Prince Charming, really, is what it is. It starts badly for him. Police in Russia's Kemerovo region are questioning a man who drunkenly rode a horse into an apartment building at 3 a.m. and presented it to his wife to make amends after a fight. Now, I just
fold the laundry is basically what I do.
It sounds funny, but it doesn't do justice to this. You've got to see, there's footage. You can go on Instagram and find this. There's footage of him trying to get onto this horse. And there's footage of him, like, falling off the horse, like, because he was drunk off his ass. Sure. And then he tried to get the horse into the elevator, and he couldn't do it because the horse wouldn't go. Yeah. And so he finally got on the horse, and he walked up the stairs, the fifth floor apartment. They had an apartment on the fifth floor.
So the horse went up the staircase.
The horse went up the stairs.
And there's somebody filming it?
You don't see the horse going up the stairs. You just see him going out of the frame and then going up the stairs. But you do see a giant pile of doo-doo with his left there. The horse leaves there. And so at one point, the man got up to the door, and the police say his name is 33-year-old Sergei Antipov.
Okay.
Now, you want to know why he did this, right?
He
wanted to be Prince Charming. Because he had this vision in his mind of, getting on this white horse, going up to his wife and, you know, saying, honey, you know, put down the vodka for a moment.
Yeah. Get off of the internet, getting classified information from the dude from...
Please stop putting bots on the internet. Yeah, on Twitter.
Stop direct messaging David Stern.
And it turns out that the wife was actually kind of touched by it. She said that it was like a gift for International Women's Day, and she put it out on the internet herself, a picture of the horse standing in my house.
So they got to get rid of the horse, right?
Well, thankfully, the horse is now back at a farm where he stole it from. He stole the horse. He didn't have a horse. He went and stole a horse and rode it up the stairs.
Wasn't there a movie that the guy rode a horse in an apartment or maybe it was a Sopranos episode or something.
It does sound like plot of some rom-com that we probably have seen somewhere. Probably he has seen somewhere too. But I just got a big kick out of that story.
From Russia with love.
Yes, exactly. It's time for another feature.
A random name pulled out of Rurik's bowl of brushes with celebrities.
Mixture.
Collection.
Selection.
Assemblage.
Medley.
Assortment.
Variety.
Time now for Celebrity Potpourri.
With Rick and Dave.
So this is the part of the show where people send in their brushes with celebrities. And this is from John. Mm-hmm. J-O-N. No H. And here
I always thought people with John is a little pretentious.
Well, if your name is Jonathan, you're putting an H in there. Makes no sense. Here it starts this way. I think I graduated with you guys at U of I.
Oh.
I remember hearing you on WPGU. Did you graduate in 1985? Well, sort of.
Yeah.
And not
ish.
Just define graduate. yes. If you did, you probably remember that the commencement speaker that year was an executive of some big car company, GM, he thinks. He doesn't remember the guy's name.
I didn't go to my undergrad.
I didn't either.
Graduation.
I didn't either. The speech was so boring, I nearly finished my entire Buddha bag of Jack. Remember Buddha bags?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like, you know, the goat skin.
I think the Boda, not Buddha.
Right. I'm reading what he wrote. Okay. But yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Every football game you'd have the canvas with. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's like the goatskin thing where you put the booze inside it.
Do they still have Boda bags?
You can get through metal detectors with those, obviously. Yeah. So they're better than flasks. Anyway, I think he pretty much captures 1985 in Champagne with that sense. Anyway, my roommates and I couldn't wait to get out of CU, Champaign-Urbana. Huh. So the second we got that diploma, or more accurately, the empty padded folder where it would later go.
Because you had to pay to turn back your cap and gown to get it.
We drove up to Chicago to celebrate. We were just naive kids, so we didn't have any idea where to party. We went downtown and couldn't believe there were no bars around. We finally found a Bennigan's on Michigan Avenue, and there was a line to get a table, so we had to wait. While we were waiting, this giant black guy came in, and they immediately gave him a table. When I cried foul, the hostess said, "Hey, that's the Bears' new draft choice. That's William Perry, the refrigerator." Yeah.
Okay.
So he didn't actually talk to him, but that's kind of a cool story.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to have a little pushback about couldn't wait to leave Champaign-Urbana.
I know.
Because I would have stayed there for my entire life, if possible.
Yeah, and John, we did not actually technically graduate. I mean, Dave did graduate in 85, but then he went on to have his master's degree.
And then an illustrious career at Kitco's for a couple of years after that, too.
He had to be dragged out of Champaign-Urbana by his legs. And I didn't graduate until December of that year, so I missed the commencement speech entirely. So,
and you didn't go to any of your graduation.
I came back the next year and went through it just because my dad wanted to see.
He's like, I need official confirmation of this.
Exactly. I won't believe it until it's in your hand. So anyway, please send us your emails. You can get a hold of us. We're all over the place.
Now, we had a little snafu with our interview.
We did,
but we promise you that Tony DeFranco will be shortly on our other podcast.
Yeah, we did half an interview and then the Bluetooth went out and we couldn't record the rest of it, but it was going great. Yeah,
and we'll be back in a heartbeat with that Tony DeFranco interview.
But if you check out our Minutiaman Celebrity interview right now, you'll hear our Oscar picks.
Eric Litt and the Oscars are going. We'll see next week how well he did, right? It's this weekend, right?
It's this coming weekend. So we have people to thank. Mm-hmm. We need to thank Tony Lozano, the executive producer of the show with Opie Shows. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tony, for all your hard work. We'd also like to thank Ed Silla.
Yeah, Ed.
With Radio Misfits, who gave us this machine that had the dysfunctioning...
Right. I'm sure it's Ed's fault. I'm sure it has nothing to do with you.
It's my fault. It's 100% my fault. That's right.
Gary Busey. Thanks, Gary Busey.
Thanks to Gary Busey. We will be back again because we've got everything all scheduled to come back again next week. And we're going to do another fantabulous episode of...
Minutia Men.
Yes. What's it called again?
Minutia Men.
How do you say that?
You can't fight it, can you? Minutia Men.
The proceeding...
It's not Ed's fault. It's your fault.
...was a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
Everything is your fault.
Find our other great shows on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at RadioMisfits.com. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of Opie Productions.
Tony, can you shut up?
Smooth.